Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this incredible privilege for which you have given to us to come here and to worship you. Lord, we, as we open your word, we just ask that you would be pleased to encounter us, that you would encounter us through your word. We pray that you would grant to us wisdom, that you would grant to us faith, grant to us a willing spirit so that we may obey. Lord, we grant that, we ask this in the name of your Son. Lord, we just desire that he would be glorified from here, that he be lifted up, Lord, and that your people see Christ. Grant, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, morning. I do come before you all with much fear and trembling. I thank you so much for all of your prayers. I'd like to talk about a small letter that's in the New Testament. It's in between the book of Hebrews and Titus. It's the letter to Philemon. And if we can turn to Philemon. Now, as we know, the Apostle Paul, he writes this letter. And he writes this letter while he's in prison. Now, as we know, he also wrote another letter while he was there in prison in Rome. The letter he wrote is this one in particular was the letter to the Colossians that he wrote. But you see, when he had sent out the letter to Colossians, he had wrote a companion letter, this small letter here that we're looking at. That is a personal letter. It is dealing with a personal matter. And it was addressed to a man that he knows that came to know the Lord through Paul's ministry. And it is addressed to this man here, Philemon. Now, why does Paul write to Philemon? Well, while Paul's in prison, he meets a young man named Onesimus. This young man, he comes into prison. He meets this man, Onesimus, and Paul finds out that Onesimus is from Colossae, where the letter to the Colossians is going. And he finds out that Onesimus is from there. He also finds out that Onesimus is a slave. He's a runaway slave. And this young man ran away from his master, and he had robbed him and fled to Rome. And as you can see, while he was in Rome, he ended up in prison, and he meets the Apostle Paul in prison. And so Paul shares with him the gospel, and at the same time, Paul finds out that this man, Onesimus, actually knows a man that he led to the Lord. This man, Philemon. And Paul knows that Philemon, he's a gracious man. He loves Christ. He loves the Lord. He loves his people. Philemon, during that time, there was a lot of persecution. And Philemon opened his home and had the church in his house. So Paul, he leads Onesimus to the Lord. Finds out that the man who, the reason why he had met Onesimus was because Onesimus ran away from his master. He'd robbed him, ran into Paul. Paul leads him to the Lord, and Paul finds out that he, his master, which he had wronged, is Philemon. And as you can see here, there's this situation here. And you see, during that time, the laws. The slavery laws in the ancient Rome. If a slave had became rebellious, the punishment could result to death. But you see, Paul, what he seeks to do is that he seeks to send back Onesimus to Philemon, so that they can, in the hope that Onesimus can be, that they can come to make a reconciliation between Onesimus and Philemon, preserving as well also Onesimus's life. And so Paul writes this letter, and he writes this letter to Philemon. He puts it into Onesimus's hand, and Paul pleads with Philemon, on the basis of love, to now receive Onesimus not as a slave, but as a dear brother. And this is his plea in Philemon. We'll pick up our reading from verse 8. Verse 8 in Philemon. Accordingly, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do what is required, yet for love's sake I prefer to appeal to you. I, Paul, an old man and now a prisoner also in Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, whose father I become in my imprisonment. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. I am sending him back to you, sending my very heart. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord. For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a bondservant, but more than a bondservant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. And we'll end our reading just there. As you can see, some of the words that Paul uses here, we look at verse 11 and see how this man Onesimus was changed. When we look at verse 11, we see that formerly he was useless to you, Philemon, but now he is indeed useful to you and to me. The name Onesimus means useful. So you see Paul's pun there that he uses. But look what he says here in verse 13. I have been glad to keep him with me. I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. So you can see, if we look at Onesimus' point of view, how this went. He wrongs his master. He robs him. He takes off to Rome. And he goes to Rome and thinking that he has found freedom. But he ends up in prison. And he ends up in prison at the same time that Paul is there. And while Paul is there, and Paul, again, as we know, he shares with him the gospel. And this man Onesimus, he's changed. He's no longer useless. He becomes useful. Why is he useful? He is useful now to the kingdom of God. He can now be used by God. He's no longer useful to his earthly master. He was useless, but now now that he has been transformed by the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit, he is now transformed and he is now useful to God. And so we can just imagine just Paul, him, that encounter that they would have had when Paul would have witnessed to him. And as you can see, that Paul would have made aware to Onesimus the great truths that are in the book of Colossians, in which he written in that prison. That maybe he had made aware to him these truths that we can see, that we can only imagine this, that maybe he said this to him. That maybe he said, Onesimus, in Christ, Onesimus, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And by him, the things were created in him, and things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, Onesimus. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything that he might be preeminent. For in him, Onesimus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. You see, Onesimus, on the cross, there he was lifted up to die. There, upon that cross, the sins of everyone who believe in him were transferred to him. As he shed his blood upon that cross, he reconciled sinful man to holy God. And there was no other way for us to have a relationship with an infinitely holy God except through the power of the cross. It was through that death that he redeemed sinners out of the slave market of sin. We could just imagine, maybe, Onesimus in that prison, he becomes a free man. He's no longer a slave to his sin. And he can sing with all his heart psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Maybe if he was here, he would sing with us the hymn that we have just sung. This man, he was transformed, this man. He was born again by the Spirit of God. Maybe he could sing with us, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thy eye diffused a quickening ray, I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free, I rose, went forth and followed thee." Following Jesus now. Not running away. He now wants to follow Jesus. See, the name of Jesus has become precious to Onesimus. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldest die for me? This man was transformed. And as you can see, from there, you can imagine the brokenness that Onesimus would have had, now realizing that he had wronged not only just his earthly master, but was his brother. Another man whose body is the temple of the Spirit of God. He wronged him. And so Paul knows this. And besides the fact that according to Roman law, that that Philemon had the right, legal right to put it to punish this man, Paul seeks reconciliation and restoration of this relationship between them. And as you can see, the change in this man, he goes off back to Philemon. We can remember, even as the Lord Jesus said in John 13, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another." Because you see, in the appeal that we've just read, Paul appeals to him, he pleads to him on the basis of love. John 13, 34, 35, "A new commandment I give to you," this is Jesus speaking, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." He goes on in his plea, verse 15, for this perhaps is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever. And what an echo that is of Genesis 50, verse 20. That what Onesimus meant for evil, God meant it for good. He goes on. Verse 16. "No longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother. Especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Verse 17, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. As you can see here, the Paul makes this offer to Philemon. Verse 17, so if you consider me your partner, receive him as you would receive me. He's pleading for Onesimus. If he has wronged you, Philemon, at all, or owes you anything, charge it to my account. Well, it's a gracious offer, but I'm sure that we can say that Paul didn't need to pay this debt that Onesimus owed. We see in verse 21 that Paul was confident that Philemon would do even more than he asked. Philemon received Onesimus and forgave his brother. Welcomed him in. But we see here, this verse, receive him as he would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Such as Paul's love for both men, that he is now willing to bear the consequences for Onesimus' actions and make satisfaction to Philemon. In other words, Paul asks Philemon to impute to the undeserving Onesimus the welcome that is rightly Paul's, while imputing to Paul whatever debt Onesimus owes to Philemon. What a picture this is of what Christ has done for us. You see, this is exactly what he has done for us. This offer is a picture of the way in which God has reconciled sinners to himself in Christ. Although we have offended God by our sins against him and his law, God being rich in mercy, sent his beloved Son to bear the penalty for our sins in order that we might be restored to fellowship with him. And therefore, our relationship with one another, it should reflect God's mercy in Christ to us. Receive him. Look at the words he uses. Receive him as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge that to my account. What kind of love is this? This is the kind of love that the world knows nothing about. You see, Paul interceding for Onesimus, interceding for the guilty to be forgiven. Onesimus was forgiven through the intercession of another. And he was accepted not as a slave, but a brother and an equal. And what a wonderful picture when we are reminded of how God accepts every sinner who trusts in his dear Son as he receives Christ in himself. We are forgiven through the intercession of Christ, accepted as children of God, presented before the Father faultless, as Christ is faultless in God's sight. Accepted because of another, accepted because of the Lord Jesus Christ, and accepted as Christ is accepted. And so, friends, I would say to you that my friends, I need my sins washed away. I need my sins forgiven. I need somebody to pay the debt that I owe. I need someone to pay this penalty for my sin. Paul needs somebody to pay for his sin. Onesimus needs somebody to pay for his sin. Philemon needs somebody to pay for his sin. My friends, we all need somebody to pay the sin debt that we owe. Christ paid a debt that he did not owe on behalf of sinners who could never pay him back. The hymn writer says, Jesus paid it all to whom I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And my dear friends, I would like to close with this. I couldn't help but think of this piece here when I read this text in verse 18. It's written by John Flavel. I first heard this when Paul Washer had read it. And it is if you're familiar with the writings of John Flavel and the way he writes, he writes this piece here. This is how it goes. He says, "Here you may suppose the Father to say, when driving his bargain with Christ for you, the Father says, 'My son, here is a company of poor, miserable souls that have utterly undone themselves and now lie open to my justice. Justice demands satisfaction for them, or will satisfy itself in the eternal ruin of them. What shall be done for these souls?' And Christ says, 'O my Father, such is my love to and pity for them, that rather than they shall perish eternally, I will be responsible for them as their surety. Bring in all your bills that I may see what they owe you. Lord, bring them all in that there may be no after reckonings with them. At my hand shall you require it. I will rather choose to suffer your wrath than they should suffer it. Upon me, my Father, upon me be all their debt.' Father replies, 'But my son, if you undertake for them, you must reckon to pay the last mite. Expect no abatements. If I spare them, I would not spare you.' The son says, 'Content, Father, let it be so. Charge it upon me. I am able to discharge it. And though it prove a kind of undoing to me, though it impoverish all my riches, empty all my treasures, yet I am content to undertake it.'" You see, as we said, Paul didn't need to pay that debt that was owed. But Christ paid it all on the cross. He paid it all on the cross. And on the cross, when he was nailed on the cross and he bore the sins of his people, he said, "It is finished. It is paid in full." Yeah. And so so thank you, everybody. I'd like to let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word stands before everything. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word endures forever. Lord, make us a people that are loving like Paul. Make us a people that are forgiving like Philemon. Make us a people that can be useful for your glory like Onesimus. Lord, we thank you. We just pray that you would bury your word in our hearts, so that we may live a life that is glorifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen.